This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt One Plus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All in one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt One Plus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
Fargo Season 5, Episode 6, The Tender Trap is over. But here on Post Show Recap, we are just getting started. My name is Grace, but of course I'm not alone. And I'm a little worried because if a person only has so many words in their lifetime, we might be in trouble, LaTanya. LaTanya, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, and I have so many words left in my lifetime that I'm just going with it, you know?
Well, maybe if we only get so many words and we're sitting here doing podcasts like dummies, this might be a huge mistake.
Listen, Grace, a grave is only a grave if you put a body in it. Otherwise, it's just a hole.
It's just a hole. This is a really good line. There's a TikTok trend I followed of it's this one account. It's not a trend. It's literally one account that does it. And they make up like fake sayings. So they like go around the circle and they're like, They never say you can't have too many kittens in your barrel. And like, it's just like, and then they explain what that means. So they just like come up with all these stupid expressions. And I really felt like a grave isn't a grave unless you put a body in it. Otherwise it's just a hole. Could have come right from that TikTok account.
It should have come from that TikTok account. Actually. Yeah. I just got TikTok yesterday.
You just got it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, the first bit of TikTok is very fun, but also like make sure that the algorithm doesn't know you yet. So little trick. Just sometimes you're watching and you don't know what TikTok is yet, and you'll watch a video and be like, "Uh oh, I actually didn't like that, but I did watch it twice." And the algorithm's gonna be like, "LaTanya needs way more of this." And so, just I think you can like, there's a button. I think if you hold the screen or do something, there's a way to say like, "I'm not interested in that." To let TikTok in. It's very important when you're setting up your algorithm.
Yeah.
These are my TikTok advice from Grace. We should probably talk about Fargo, though. Make sure you're subscribed. PostShowRecaps.com/Fargo is the feed, or you can search Fargo, PostShowRecaps in your podcast or app of choice. We're also on YouTube, YouTube.com/PostShowRecaps. You can watch us, our lovely faces. You can only hear that I'm sick. You can probably see that I'm sick. That's a delight. No, I don't. Yeah, I don't think I look that sick.
You don't look sick.
Yeah, but I sound very nasally. You hear that? Look at it. I don't even think the microphone is picking. I think only dogs can pick up this. All right, The Tender Trap, episode 6. We're a little bit over halfway through, LaTanya. We got a little bit of flack in the Discord last week when we said last week was our least favorite episode thus far. And I believe I put an asterisk on that saying, like, it's all good. It's just like, yeah, it was my least favorite thus far. And people are like, no, this was amazing. The show.
Not every episode can be your favorite, you know?
I don't know. Well, but some people were like, no, I think the show is building on itself and it's getting more interesting as it's going. So even if the first episode might have been amazing, I think there are some people who believe it is only gaining in quality as it goes along, which I think is a fair piece of feedback. But what did you make of episode 6, The Tender Trap?
I believe that those people are entitled to their opinions. I believe that our opinion is the one that they're paying for, though.
Nobody's paying for it unless you get the ad-free version on Patreon.
Everyone's paying for my opinion.
Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. But yeah.
Wait, what's that website again?
Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Yeah, okay, get ad-free versions of the podcast. Yeah.
Listen. I am going to be unpopular in the Discord again, I guess. I'm sorry, everybody. I love the Discord, but I am okay with not being so popular in it. We talk often on these podcasts about, like, what is the proper way for television to exist, right? And I guess the question that I had after this episode, even though I enjoyed this episode, obviously it was missing some dot for me. Does this show need to have 10 episodes to tell this story?
To feel like this was like a bit, much like what Dot might be doing, this was a little bit wheel spinny for you.
A little bit.
I did like this episode because this episode, I think, surprised me to a degree of like a potential Indira Lorraine team up. I would agree that I don't like, I get, you know, I think last week I think people really liked the like the romp of like, you know, Dot fending off everybody. I, you know, who am I to say that, like, you know, I shouldn't have more Fargo on my TV, so I think I'll like say like, nope, that's wrong, they definitely need 10 episodes. But I could kind of see what you're saying,
and
that
know what I'm stepping in.
Yeah, and I think it's delightful. You want to scrape it off the bottom of your shoes, so yeah.
No, it's not that I don't think it's good, because everything that we're getting, like all the performances, are fantastic. It's just that, you know, when we have an episode like this that's following an episode that I feel like, you know, 2 weeks in a row we don't totally move the story forward that much, then I wonder if things are being a little bit wheel spinny. But that's not to say that I didn't also enjoy what I got. Like, I think people can contain multitudes, and so can an opinion.
This is basically an episode of just awful, awful men.
Yeah.
And women deciding maybe we should team up against them, basically.
Yep.
I hear that. Well, I'm still excited to chat through it, because I think there's a lot in here. And I do think the show is very purposeful, and so I am intrigued in terms of like what Noah Hawley is trying to build to. I definitely do feel like, while it was not as set up in the same way as like at the end of episode 3, I believe, is when we get like, oh, double home invasion next episode, and you like, and then they delivered on that. They're like, that's what we got. Even if the Munch one is like, it was a bit of a red herring in terms of like, well, he does literally invade their home, but he just leaves an eerie symbol on the front, or in the children's bedroom. This time with like Dot driving off, I mean she is noticeably the big piece that's missing off the board from this episode, for sure.
And we also don't get Lamorne's character this episode.
That's right, we don't get him either. All right, well, let's recap it to a degree. And basically we have the dueling sides of Roy Tillman and Lorraine Lyon up against each other. Roy tries to head off Lorraine's purchase of the bank by approaching the Tender Trap, the strip club at which the gentlemen were enjoying a night out there. And Roy essentially sort of coerces them into not selling. Although by the end of the episode, we know that Lorraine potentially has gotten one up on the bank by sending federal officials there and hoping to secure the deal. Meanwhile, Roy has to chastise Gator for getting the wrong man. This is not Wayne Lyon as Roy watches the television ad on TV and ultimately shoots intestine guy in the head and spoiled skater. Yes, pretty gross. They decide to return to an old faithful, much of the trepidation of Gator. Why not just hire Munch for a lot of money to go and search for Dot, thereby setting their plan in motion? Although, as he points out, a grave is not a grave unless you put a body in it. It's just a hole. Meanwhile, Lorraine is going to work her magic by trying to offer Indira a job in which she'll think about it. She wants to offer her a white collar job with a white collar salary and tells her not to ask for time to think about, just demand it. And will help her pay off her debt and sends Danish off to steal the election. Scotty has a day with Lars, kind of. Lars, we learn, is quite an a-hole as he wants Indira to be his wife. She says, I am your wife. And he says, no, you don't do any of the wife things that a wife should be doing. She leaves for the day. Lars then leaves for physical therapy, leaving Scotty alone. She plays the drums, rightfully so. She says that it's a toy, not a tool. That's why they call it play the drums, before Indira returns home and drops her off at her grandmother's house. That's basically it. Roy is also awful to his wife as well. So
loves Trump.
Yeah, loves Trump. Yeah, I do feel like this episode is much more of a Lars and Roy. We basically see them to be like the worst type of men possible. You know, basically in search of a wife. That's really what this episode, I feel like, tells, which is to the point of like it being wheel spinny. I think I can understand that, like, this isn't like a super like fun episode of Fargo. Yeah. And I talked last week about how, like, by the end of the episode, kind of like the things that we've been laughing at, we're like pulling the curtain back and we're like, oh, that's maybe not so fun to realize we've been laughing at it. And this episode, I feel like we're sort of like directly faced with these two awful men. But the flip side is, like, I think I want to kind of start with Lorraine, because I think Lorraine, I hated her. I hated her so much. And I don't know whether I like her, but I certainly like feel like I respect her, or like whatever the thing is that this is quite the character development over the course of six episodes for this character, who I absolutely was like, this woman is awful, to feeling like, maybe I'm actually like rooting for Lorraine Lyon.
I know. She's growing on me. She's growing on me. I don't like it. I mean, partially it's a testament to Jennifer Jason Leigh and her performance and just kind of the cracks that we see shine through in this episode. The line, that's tit for that, is fantastic.
Very good.
And she gets to say it. So that's good for her, while holding Vivian's shirt. And a not on my watch note. We get to see her with a big broad smile when her granddaughter is brought back home. That's only interrupted by her realizing that Indira is looking at her as she does it. And then, of course, like the very end of the episode, where she's just looking at these horrific images of her daughter-in-law and everything that she's gone through, and you get the idea that maybe Indira is right by confronting her with this absolute truth. She'll have no choice but to see her daughter-in-law as someone who, you know, like, there are people who are victims. People aren't just making themselves into victims in order to get out of some kind of debt, essentially.
Yeah, the conversation between Indira and Lorraine is probably my favorite of the episode. In that Indira comes to basically say, like, yeah, here's the case file on your daughter-in-law. You should read it and maybe have some empathy, and it will give you some insight into Dot. And she's sort of confronting, you know, this is not the only conversation these two characters have had. We had the conversation about, like, the, you know, your job is to keep people out of the gate, and once that they're inside, you have no jurisdiction here. And so I think she knows, Indira does, knows Lorraine's, like, worldview pretty, she can see her. She's not exactly, it's not exactly hard to spot what her worldview is. And so Indira kind of chucks it back in her face when Lorraine is like, oh, she's making herself a victim. And she's like, she has never said that she is a victim. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes things just happen to people and they become victimized and it's not their fault. And there's this idea of like, oh my God, well, she never should have married my son. It's like, what the hell? Like, women who are abused and escape, they should move out into the woods.
Yeah.
And I really like when Lorraine's like, I don't like your tone. And Jerry's like, yeah, well, tough shit, you know, like, you know, you're the same. You two, you and Dot is actually incredibly like you, actually. And so I like this a lot. I like this scene a lot. We talked last week about, like, why does Indira keep Scotty? And so I think that this gives us some insight into who she thinks Dot is. The Dot is a very capable individual to go and do what she does. And we talked a little bit last week about, like, yeah, obviously the police are not going to be, it's like such a systematic thing that happened to Dot, and like, yeah, okay, I'll let her go and like deal with what's happening, because like nobody else clearly is willing. Even the conversation that Indira has with the FBI kind of affirms that, which is like, why don't you go arrest them for all the things that like he just did? And they're like, yeah, not how it works.
No,
you
know? No, we don't want to like blow our case. Yeah. The FBI very much sees Dot as kind of a key to their case, and not so much as a person, where Indira is, you know, like deeply attuned to everything that Dot has gone through and wants to help her. And we get that, you know, we get the idea that like Dot and Lorraine and Indira are all women who have had to put up with way too much BS in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And they all just choose to respond to it in a different way. But Indira pointing out the similarities between Dot and Lorraine is very important here. And Lorraine, you know, for all of her facade that she puts up at the end of the episode, seems like she's kind of coming around a little bit.
Yeah, I think that there, the moment too where she does see like Scotty go and is sitting with Wayne, and how Wayne, like, she actually does show some motherly instinct when Wayne is like, I just want to go home. And she starts off by being like, well, your wife like kind of like burned down your house, so like, you can't actually do that. And then he's like, I can't remember what he says, but then she responds like, no, it's okay. We'll go home and like, basically like, you know, I'll take care of you. She's not going to like cuddle him or like whatever, mm-hmm. but she is like going to make sure he has things that he like needs or wants, yeah. You know? And so the idea that like, yeah, he goes home with his mom, is kind of cute. So you can kind of see this, like, you know, what I think is interesting is this season, you know, again, I think basically every man except for Wayne, maybe Danish to a degree, is like pretty awful to see. Like, yeah, Munch is, you know, Munch is a spiritual
girl
from Wales. So yeah, he's awful. Yeah, he's taking money to go like kidnap Dot. So he's bad.
And Danish can't be that great either, you know?
Yeah. So, but what I think is interesting is like the ways in which all of these women, they all have had similar-ish experiences, even if like Lorraine's is not from being in an awful relationship. Her husband is much more of a dunce than anything. Mm-hmm. Love that I kind of forgot he existed.
That scene with him this episode made me so freaking happy. Like, where is he mixing this martini?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Him playing his little battle rearrangement as like there's actual like real like violence happening in the world is pretty funny. I forgot that he's in the first episode when he like gets given a gun. She's like, make a choice, dear. It's so good. So the way that Indira, Dot, and Lorraine really, what are the ways in which like they have like tried to figure out how to defend themselves from like the world? And that's either like their abusive husbands, their like idiotic husbands with their like, you know, with their insane demands, or like, you know, the way the business world works often for women. And they've all developed these like, you know, I don't want to call them like maybe coping strategies, but they've all developed these like ways to move forward in the world, often as like women have to do. I was talking recently do a lot of work in diabetes, and there's a lot of research to show that like women are more likely to like underreport their some of these like things that happen in diabetes. And that's, I think, because like there's so much of a burden for women to just be like, to keep going and doing, and anyway, don't complain and get on with it and move it, and all these extra responsibilities that like there, you know, has been over the years like a significant increase in like, you know, how much like fathers take on in relationships, but even that like balance is still like, you know, pretty out of whack. And so, yeah, I just think it's like, yes, I'm thinking about like, what has the season been? And at first it was like, you know, deals and revenge and all of this stuff. And now this episode for me was mostly, you know, it, even though Dot isn't in it, feels like an examination of like women in these situations.
Yeah. And their defense mechanisms that they kind of put up to deal with the world. As an expert, I just have like a real quick aside question. As an expert in your field, can it ever be pronounced diabetes?
You can, but it's, I don't like it. You can though. You can.
It's not encouraged.
You can, whatever. Say words however you want, you know. Language is made up.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
With Kizik hands-free shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy-on, easy-off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Yeah, so I just love, the scene. You want to talk a little bit about like Scotty and Lars, really? Like I joke about this, like this monologue he gives, but it's pretty awful. And I would say like the one thing I feel like not having gone back and rewatched, like Mike did it, and obviously Mike isn't here, but like how on the nose has Fargo been in the past? Because this is like so like, this is like fully like incel vibe.
Yeah.
You know, speech here.
Lars and Roy are listening to the same podcast, I think.
I think it's a Jordan Peterson podcast.
Oh, great. She's taking the red pill every day.
Yeah.
Waking up and choosing red pill.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is very bad.
Yeah.
He wants a wife. I had a teacher in seventh grade who would always say, I need a wife.
Oh.
And the class would question her and be like, but you are a wife. She's like, no, I need someone to do all of the things for me that I do for my husband.
Right.
But like, it's just way more retrograde than you would even imagine someone's villain origin story to be. And he's just like, I need someone to cook for me. I need someone to see to my needs. And it's just like, dude, you literally play with a golf simulator all day and night.
Yeah.
What are you bringing to this relationship? It pisses me off because this is probably the first Lucas Gage character that I actively hate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fair.
Mm-hmm. But I had a good track record going with the Lucas Gage characters.
Yeah. Somehow the show, in the middle of one of the worst speeches we get from any character, does deliver a pretty good laugh line, in my opinion, is when he talks about how he wants a cheerleader. And he's like, you know, at all the parties, you're always like, you know, I'm not someone who talks about the difference between a felony or a misdemeanor. I'm like, okay, Lars, it was very funny. Yeah, and then life being like, yeah, and you're never like around. She's like, yeah, I take extra shifts because we're in debt.
Yeah,
and he's like,
no,
and that too, like bringing up all the bad stuff. She's like, oh my God.
She gets woken up with these voicemails that are like, hey, you're in debt. Also leave me 5 stars.
Love that. Love being like, we're going to really have to get, you know, we're going to have to get somebody to come and, you know, get recollection on this. And also thanks for your patience today. Like if you want to rate us 5 stars, that'd be great. Really helps me out. So funny. Yeah. So, I mean, the more and more I really love your death draft bet of Lars getting the axe, mostly for satisfaction reasons rather than like, I really think he might die. Like, it seems like a fool who could wander through life completely fine, but
I know
we shall see.
Beaten to death with his golf clubs.
Yeah. So yeah, let's talk about like Roy has he's getting, so he first goes to meet the guys at the Tender Trap and tells them like, don't sell the bank, figure out how to get rich, do a raffle maybe, and proceeds to steal his shirt and his coat and then wants him to do a little dance, although he's just kidding. And then he's getting his haircut and he gets nicked when he realized that like he's watching the television and it's Wayne Lyon on the television, and he sort of like is spooked, and she cuts her, which then he proceeds to physically abuse his wife in front of his children as well. And then calls his children welfare queens as well for watching TV.
For watching television.
During the day.
You know, one solution would be to put them in school, but you know, that doesn't seem, Roy does not seem like someone who's like, educate the women. Yeah, this whole scene is ridiculous. The only reason he gets nicked is because he moves his giant head.
Yes.
It's his fault. And then he immediately hits his wife. And you get the idea that this happens to her all of the time. She doesn't she barely even like misses a step, you know?
Yes.
And immediately is apologetic to him.
Yeah.
It's really just kind of like the type of insidious behavior that, you know, makes you wonder what happened to that first wife that we only see the picture of, you know?
Yeah, true. For me, my first instinct is like, oh, do we need this? Like, Roy gives this whole speech to this guy who he kills later and is like, basically says like, you know, make sure your wife is in line. She needs to make sure she like keeps him fed and do all her wifely duties to make sure that like she basically doesn't get like put in her place. So like we know this. Part of me also like, you know, it's my own uncomfortableness, but like it's on television that I'm like, you know, I don't want to see it. But you know, I think similarly too, there was a lot of discussions when House of the Dragon was showing a lot of like miscarriage scenes. There was a lot of people who were like, I don't know if we need to see this. And then there was like, I feel like a vocal group of you know, particularly women being like, no, I actually think like this is stuff that I think like it does happen. So like seeing it and the way that the show, you know, I almost think it's like I'm trying to word this in a way, and again, I said this on a podcast the other day. We were talking about The Curse, and there was a scene, and I was like, I actually don't know how I feel about this yet, and I feel like an obligation as a podcast to be like, I know exactly how I feel about this thing I saw on television, and I'm talking to you in podcast form. But I think like my instinct here is to a degree of like, this is better than like, I want to say imply, because I can understand it's hard for people to see, and this is what I believe, like, you know, content warnings could help with some of this stuff, but at the same time, like, this is the reality that a lot of like that men do this and use it to maintain their power over women. And so it being more blatant is like better than like implying it. And it's not that we don't, I don't know. I'm just trying to think through, like, it's really in here. Like, this back-to-back scenes of, like, Lars being like, I need my wife to attend to my duties. And he's kind of a fool, so you're kind of, like, laughing. Yeah. And then we directly get a scene where, like, Roy is, like, being so awful. And this is how he's, like, making sure that his wife does do all the stuff that, like, basically Lars would want Indira to do. But Lars is too much of a, like, a fool to be able to do it. And here we have, like, a man who actually, like, I was going to say powerful. He's not powerful. Like, this is exactly what Dot says last week, which is men only do it when they're weak. He's trying to like make up for the fact that he was the one who moved, and he doesn't want to look weak or take any blame, and he wants to maintain his power in this relationship, right?
That, and he's also pissed off that, like, you know, his son and hired goons got the wrong guy, and he's realizing how much of an idiot he is as he watches the television, like I guess a welfare queen would.
Being a welfare queen, yeah.
Yeah, that, I mean, just like throwing that in there along with everything else, I think that we're just supposed to see the casual evil that, you know, this man brings into the show. Just how, like, part of his everyday life this is. And, you know, just as if we needed more reinforcement, but just, you know, further reinforcement that this guy is the worst. And that his wife is kind of surrounded by terrible people because her father is the one who is like the the head of the militia that's getting all these weapons from Roy.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, so then Roy, the scene where Gator tries to like talk himself out of like getting the wrong guy. It's like, weren't you in the car? He's like, yeah, no, I was in the car.
I was in the car
the whole time. Yeah, and then just shooting this man in the head. Poor man who just needed to go to the hospital.
He just needed his intestines taken out, you know?
Yeah. And so Roy's plan is to rehire Gator and, to rehire Munch. The only thing I would say about this is like Munch was so mysterious in terms of like, obviously we get the 500 year flashback. He's in the house, he's hanging out, he's listening. And I kind of feel like I would have liked the, like, how do we contact him? How do we find him? He's a
mystery. Yeah.
How did you find him in the first place? How did you get him? And the fact that he kind of just like shows back up, I feel like it was a real missed opportunity for this, like, you know, in one way there's a show, or Flag Means Death would do this thing where like we talked with the costume designer and she was told that like the show has basically had Looney Tunes rules, and we had talked about in season one that like sometimes like someone will get in like a little rowboat and they're like, I'm off to find the ship, and they'll just sail out of the ocean, and then the next scene is them being like, hey there, and they like found the ship, and it's like that should be impossible, but like those are the rules of the show. So there's something like kind of funny about the idea that like Munch is so supernatural that like if he just needs to be somewhere he would know that and he would go, and like I don't know, like there's something to that that I could buy into, but I definitely feel like I kind of wanted like, how do they figure out, even just to give me, you know, maybe it's boring, maybe it would have been Gator like, no, I have a cell phone number and I'll call him, and it's like,
yeah,
and that's it. But like,
because he contacted the other guy that's dead.
That's so how did he find Munch?
Did Munch leave like an embedded QR code in that symbol that he drew on the wall?
Yeah, it was just we haven't looked at back. It's just a QR code. It's just strange. So I kind of feel like that was a missed opportunity. But you know, and the idea that Munch would just be like, okay, I'll take a bunch of more money to do, which is like, this is, I mean, he is a sin eater, so like it does fit to be like, okay, like you owe me. This is what he was told, was like, you owe me. And then Roy's basically going to be like, yeah, like, but I'm going to give a bunch more and then just like, make sure you go kill her. And also like, yeah, she's a tiger, so make sure you're not being hunted. Go hunt her. Feels like maybe Munch doesn't make it out of next week's episode, but that's just my Munch hunch. What's on it?
I cannot be contained around rhyming jokes.
Sorry about that.
Really, really is like the weight of my heart.
Yeah.
And then we get that No Country for Old Men tracker on the car as well.
I do like the Gator Munch sign off where like Gator literally says, like, you want the last word? Here it is, buddy. It's like, no, you're saying the last word. Like, you idiot.
They're both dumb. They're both dummies.
I don't think Munch is that much
seriously.
He says, don't yell at a boulder for being a rock. That's very good advice. It's very good. And then Gator's like, all right, see you later, a-hole. Is like, what the hell?
Come on. Let's not pretend that anything that Munch has said this entire show has made any sense.
I don't know. A man knows, a boy complains because he thinks the world is unfair. A man knows better that the things that happen, who lives and who dies. You don't yell at a boulder for being a rock. That's some good advice.
I always yell at boulders for being rocks.
Oh.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. I love Munch. So, but this is bad news, I think, to like get a bag full of money to go find Dot, is like Dot's actively looking for all the people to like get revenge on. Bad news, I think, for Munch potentially.
I would really like for Dot and Munch to team up. I want him to be like, yeah, I got this money, but that was just a payment for trying to get you in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And now we can be sin eaters together.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there much else from this episode? There's not much else.
No, really. Like, this is why I question the 10 episode thing, because not a whole lot happens in this episode.
Yeah, but you do also, we talked about it briefly. The FBI are going to chat with Indira, and she's going to, you know, Roy's a real I am the law type. I'll finish this thought, which is the plan is actually to try and flip Gator or the ranch foreman. Feels like the plan will be to flip Gator. I feel like you don't be like, the plan is to flip this one named character or this other unnamed character. And like, so I don't know that Ranch Foreman, unless that's his name.
That would be a great name.
It would be in line. We do learn Nadine's full names.
Red Foreman's brother, Ranch.
Yeah, Ranch Foreman. We do learn Nadine's last name. This Bump. Episode. Nadine Bump. What a great name. Yeah. And this is where Indira is going to be like, yeah, but like, what about all the stuff that all the crimes they've committed like recently? And they're like,
what about the crimes?
No, we got to get them for the big thing, which, you know, to some degree is like, you know, if there are a lot of big, it's like, yeah, if you do go after him, and can only get him on like one thing that like he maybe only goes to jail for 5 years, like maybe that is bad, but I don't know. The FBI are supposed to, they feel very like, they're pretty incompetent, I feel like, thus far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've done nothing except lose a woman and, you know, lose the conversational chess match between themselves and Roy.
Yeah. Yeah. I do like the line where Gator comes in to tell Roy that they have Wayne tied up. And he says, yeah, we got Nadine's husband out there. And he goes, I'm Nadine's husband. Oh, yeah, right. What do you make of the episode title? We talked last week. Last week was The Tiger. Mm-hmm. This is The Tender Trap, which is the name of the bar or the strip club. What do you make of this? Like, The Tender Trap? Anybody luring people into a trap here? Seemingly some people are. With tenderness,
I feel like a lot of people are being lured in by themselves.
Yeah.
They're luring themselves into a trap. Just the idea of a strip club named the Tinder Trap makes me happy. Mm-hmm. I like that.
If they don't have a deal on chicken fingers, on chicken tenders, what are they even doing? What are they even doing? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't make much of the episode title this week, I don't think. I could have maybe with some better episodes.
It's just fun to name something after a strip club.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, could be. Yeah, again, I don't know that I have a ton else on the episode, LaTanya. Any predictions for next week's episode?
Yeah, so we've got to get Dot back. into the show. Uh-huh. It looks like she just kind of shows up at the property, so it'll be interesting to see what her plan is there. She's got to know this place pretty well. She lived there for quite a long time, so mm-hmm. she could probably home alone that place pretty well.
Yeah. One thing I do think it's interesting to note is like the episodes have been directed in like pairs. So Noah Hawley did the first two, Donald Murphy did the next two. These last two have been by Dana Gonzalez with the, mm-hmm. and then next week we have a different director. And I always think that's interesting to look at them from like how they're paired up. And that I feel, on one hand, I'm like, yeah, I really wish we got more Dot. Like I really wanted to like, yeah, the like launch into like what I thought was going to be the Tender Trap, which is like Dot returning and being like, I'm here, and then trapping them and then murdering them, basically. But it's a little too soon. I definitely do feel like we're close. You know, we lost Intestine Guy this week, but I definitely feel like next week set up the stakes for the end, and that we probably will lose somebody. I would.
Yeah. How did we not put Intestine Guy on the board earlier?
We didn't know him. I think. I don't think we knew him in the season premiere.
That's fair.
Yeah.
We can't just have a 34-minute podcast.
Well, we could. Well, by the time we do our plugs, everything, it'll be long enough. But Scotty, good drum player. She's very good
at playing drums. Yeah, for a child. I love that she's also like getting the high-minded argumentation going and said, "Will you play the drums?"
Very good. It's like those are tools, not toys. Just, well, then why do they say play the drums? Very good. I really like Scotty a lot.
Scotty's great. It's really always wonderful to see children outsmarting grown men.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that was really good to see. I felt really bad for her because they clearly don't have any food in their house.
No, she just had crackers for lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Dira's like, yeah, I'm going to take you home.
Yeah, I think we'd probably just be done with this of you hiding here. Yeah, she'd probably just take you.
And she gets there. Grandma. She's like, you'll be fine here. Look.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess they wanted to give us like a way to to see, like, you know, I do like the end of last week's episode of, like, Dot just kind of, like, taking her and asking Indira. And so Indira knowing, like, getting to see who Dot is. I do feel like you maybe could do all this without, like, I don't know that Dot needs to take. I guess it's because Roy, she knows that Roy knows that about the house, like about the Lion House. So she wants to take her so that she doesn't, she's not like, you know,
yeah,
for the picking where, from Roy. Yeah. But yeah, we're kind of moving the pieces around a little. Like, we basically just ended up, like, by the end of last episode, like, Scotty leaves the Lion Estate just to then return to the Lion Estate.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, I like this episode. I would probably agree in that talking about it, there's not a ton there, but I still think this season has been quite excellent. I'm excited to see where it goes. This is one of the ones I do feel like there's this trend of television recently, and I talked about this with the premiere, where the premiere started so wild that now I feel like it has kind of fallen back into the norm. What I feel like has been a trend, which is, like, slow builds to, like, excellent finales. I feel like even though it started, like, at a 10, it's, like, you know, it's pulled back on the gas a little bit. But hopefully that means that they're saved a lot of content for the end. And I think all the ingredients in the mix are really interesting. So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm more than down for a show that, like, starts off with fireworks and then maybe has a lull in the middle and then ends with fireworks.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the way it goes. Yeah. And it is hard. I think, like, you know, I think certainly here on post show recaps, we're a little bit like, we don't love the way, like, binge shows get dropped, but at the same time, like, this is an episode that I think would be like, you just watch the next one. Right. And so you'd be, you know, if it was dropped in a binge, and it's tough when you love a show this much and you're like, no, I have to wait a whole week. And this is what I got this week. So yeah.
I know.
Careful what we wish for. We got Monkey Pod. Yeah.
Again.
Again. All right. So I think we you know, stretched it out enough.
But we did it.
Yeah. What else you got going on? Where can people find you?
I recently did an episode of The Crown with you and Shannon.
That's right.
Which was lovely. More of that. What else? We're gonna be talking about A Murder at the End of the World as well. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've been watching it. I like it. I know people seem mixed on it, but I like it. I love Emma Corrin.
I love Emma Corrin, and any show that has No More I Love Yous is like a recurring song. I'm down with. I also love Britt Marling and Britt and Zal and, like, their writing. I really love the OA and was, like, devastated when it got canceled on Netflix. Yeah. Yeah, I'm really excited about this show and, like, what it could reveal, like, nice winter murder mystery. And you can find me on Twitter at LK Starks talking about all of these things and more.
Did you know Manny Patinkin is going to be he's the detective in A Murder Mystery coming in January? Did you know this?
No.
It's my favorite thing. Murder Mysteries are so hot right now. Manny Patinkin's like, I'll do one. Yeah. It's called Death and Other Details. It's a murder mystery on a boat, but not Death on the Nile.
Okay.
Yeah. And Manny Patinkin. Yeah.
No Army Hammer.
His name is Rufus Coatworth. It's very fun.
His name is not Rufus Coatworth.
It is Rufus Coatworth. Yeah. Check it out. Death and Other Details. Murder Mysteries. Well, speaking of murder mysteries, we talked about murder mysteries / mysteries on the Year in Review podcast series. I did that with Troy and Ariel. It was a lot of fun. We talked about all sorts of stuff that came out last year. Only Murders in the Building. Other stuff. Other murder. Poker Face. Yeah. I'm also covering The Crown, as mentioned. I'm covering The Curse with Dr. Amanda, which I think is an absolute delight of a show, and then I love getting to talk with Amanda about it. Movies each week with Ariel. This week we did Wonka with Jofa, which I actually kind of really liked Wonka, and then we're going to be talking about Poor Things, the Emma Stone a movie that just came out. Full spoiler recaps with Jess, as mentioned, and then check out the Year in Review podcast. Make sure you vote for top 10 movies of the year. Your vote matters. It's a tight race. Things could find themselves into the top 10 with a vote from you. I'm on social media at Hi From Grace. We'll be back next week, hopefully rejoined by the one Mike Bloom. He basically is the Dot of this episode. He was just driving around in a car, hopefully not hoping to murder us, but we shall see.
We'll
be back next week. Until then, bye-bye.